And now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And I wanted to mention that Andrew Howard, who was half of the Carell and Andrew show, a radio show that I worked with in Los Angeles at KFI, Andrew passed on today. He was a young man. He was very sick. And it's just sad when a guy that young goes. But Carell and Andrew themselves were an entertaining, very talented couple of guys. They were out. They were gay. They've been married the last 10 years. They certainly got people crazy when they first got on the air in Los Angeles. And I understand that they were going to make another move in the market. Andrew, I found out this morning from our programming people locally, died today. And I did call Carell, and I, you know, on behalf of myself and my wife, Maria, I expressed how very sad we were for him and how sad we were to hear that that Andrew was gone. They were very talented, I thought very talented guys, and also a couple of guys that seemed like they were really getting a kick out of life. You know, they these were not depressed people. So when I talked to Carell, he was very upset, obviously, but I know he's going to it's crazy to talk about it now, I suppose, Carell, if you're listening, but I know you're going to recover and you're going to move on, and life will be sweet again for you, I'm sure. Brad Rifkin is a security consultant. He's advised many major casinos in and around the country, Las Vegas, Atlantic City. He's provided security expertise for a variety of corporations. We're going to talk in the aftermath of the Sopranos last episode yesterday. We're going to talk about the tendency of some Italian Americans to be offended by that show and exactly how, you know, how justified they may be. He's worked in and around criminal enterprises as a security consultant. We welcome him to the program. And you've been on, I think in the last year, you've been on a couple of times, Brad. So welcome back.
Thank you, Phil. It's good to be back with you.
All right. Tell me about the Italian American dislike for these kinds of depictions, these mafia movies and mafia TV shows.
Phil, I think the first thing you need to understand about the Italian in America is that, unlike other ethnic groups, I don't think there are people that are that easily offended. So I think you've got to really go out of your way to offend Italian Americans. I think they're a very fun-loving people. They're a relaxed people. I don't think they get bent out of shape the way perhaps a black might or the Irish do or Mexicans do. If you make a joke, they love food and family and friends. And you can get together with them and call them a good-natured name. You can call them, for instance, an Italian. And I don't know what the equivalent would be if you call an African-American, I suppose, a stove lid. I guess that would be very offensive.
Yeah, I think you're right.
All right, and a Mexican, a beaner, or something like that.
Yeah, both of those would be offensive.
But the Italian is an individual. You can good-naturedly call them a wop or a guinea or a greaseball. They're not going to get that tense. And
well, what about the need of some Italians to band together in this this enterprise, La Cosa Nostra?
Well, the only thing they worry about in La Cosa Nostra, which is what some people call a mafia, you never raise your hands to another made guy. And by a made guy...
Made guy's a member, right?
Is a member. Never raise your hands. But the heart of the organization is run rather loosely insofar as strict rules go.
Well, what about money? They're keen on making money in the mafia, right?
They like money, but they're not going to sweat it if you don't make any money. If you're not bringing any money in for a couple of months, they're not going to go nuts. There's no killing in the mafia because you don't make money. As a matter of fact, I've heard wiretaps. The FBI has wiretaps and has tapped different clubs where you'll hear an exchange that goes something like, "Hey, Carmine, did you make any money?" "No, I didn't." "Oh, well, try... have a breadstick," whatever they eat.
Well, what about respect? So, in other words, you heard...
Respect.
Well, no, but you heard a wiretap, "Hey, Carmine, did you make any money?" "No, I didn't." "Well, have a breadstick."
Well, they're loose that way. And
well, what about respect? Aren't they big on that?
They're big on respect, but that just means doing what you're told. They don't care for the real protocol of it.
And well, I'd like to get back Brad for Brad. I'm calling you Brad after the breadstick remark.
Brad, it's fine, whatever it is.
Okay, let's get back to this "it's okay to call them guineas" thing. Now, they call each other that?
Yeah, they do, and outsiders do. And
so someone outside of the La Cosa Nostra, somebody not a non-Italian American, could call a so-called made member of the mafia a Dago greaseball, and nothing happens.
They're Italians, Phil.
Well, I don't know what that means, they're Italians.
They they're Italians. They love to eat. They drink wine. They sit and they stare at trucks delivering beef. On that Sopranos, did you see the Sopranos? One time I saw them. And
yes, obviously.
One day they were on that show, they're having coffee, and some truck is dropping off pork chops. So,
Brad, if John Gotti, this is what I want to ask you. If John Gotti walked in here right now and I called him a Goomba greaseball, that's okay.
That's fine. That's not what gets him upset. And
well, what about all of my Italian friends? Can I call, forget about the mafia for a minute. Can I call them that?
Can you call your Italian...
My Italian friends.
What I'm saying is it's perfectly acceptable in the Italian culture to call an Italian in a good-natured way, okay?
All right.
Garlic breath or greaseball or goomba is fine. Goomba is a term of affection. The old joke that Sean Connery made in The Untouchables.
What was that?
I think he said, just like a wop to bring a knife to a gunfight.
I understand. I remember that.
Yeah, it's good-natured. And so... Well, my point is, it takes a lot to get the Italian people upset.
All right, Brad Rifkin is with us here. We're talking about, in the aftermath of Sopranos, talking about a lot of Italian-Americans upset with the way Italian-Americans are portrayed in the Sopranos. And he's basically saying it's some of these terms are fine. It doesn't really upset anybody.
No, it doesn't.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here to the Phil Hendry Show. We had Margaret Gray on a couple of weeks ago talking about how Italians are criminally prone. And
oh, that's absolute nonsense. That's complete nonsense. The Italian American people are some of the most fun-loving people, some of the nicest people. And again, all you got to do is look at what they sit and they drink wine, they eat a lot of pasta. They eat, they never, that's not that they never stop eating, but they eat all the time. And how can anybody like that, you can't even get up to move, let alone get up and get a gun and shoot somebody. So I think the first thing you got to understand is they're not offended by the things that other groups are offended by. And the Jewish people, the black people, even my dear friends, the Irish, who get a bit out of shape on that about that pig on St. Patrick's Day, that's not the case with Italians. So if you see an Italian friend of yours, for instance...
People are not in the mafia.
Yeah, people are not in the mafia. I mean, you wouldn't know who they are. Say, you greaseball, how you been? It's a perfectly acceptable thing. Hey, how you doing, Guinea? How you doing? One of the great things about the Italian is they're very happy-go-lucky. They've got that nice olive oil smile and that Guinea charm. That people like that. And the Italians know that, and they're always wanting to show it off.
Why would they not be offended? I tell you, I'm Irish. I suppose somebody could call me a shanty Mick. I wouldn't care.
Well, that's the way the Italians are.
But it just always seemed to me that, like, WAP, isn't that without papers? Isn't WAP offensive?
No, it's not. It's a term of endearment to a lot of Italians. WAP, Goomba, garlic breath, Ollie Guinea, oily, olive oil boy. All of this stuff is very much a part of what makes you a part of the family. So you may think it's dangerous, but there are worse things you can do. You walk into a social club with a gun, you'll die. But if you walked into a social club and you said, hey, how are all you greasy olive boys doing today? They would laugh. They'd slap you on the back, say, sit down, have a drink.
All right, Brad Rifkin, who I don't know, he's spent a lot of years as a security consultant talking about the Italian-American people, what would make them angry, what doesn't make them angry in the advent of a lot of people getting upset about how they're... So why are they upset with how they're portrayed in The Sopranos?
I guess a lot of Italian-Americans don't like that because of the crime thing, but not about being called Guinea.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
I've worked with a lot of Italian Americans, and they don't like being associated with the mafia. I think that's where you make your mistake. But not calling him Guinea or WAP or anything like that. It's tough to make an Italian angry because of all of the good-natured food that they eat. And
when you call it good-natured food...
Well, it's food that, first of all, pasta is very heavy in carbohydrates and fat. And so is wine. So when you're drinking that stuff and you're eating that stuff, it's very difficult for you to move very quickly or to get upset about anything. That's why the Italian's a pretty mellow guy.
Well, that's why I asked you about if there is anybody in the mafia, if there is such a thing, why are those guys all bent out of shape?
But that's just it. They're not as bent out of shape as you think. Yeah, they want to make money. Yeah, they're criminals. Yeah, they break the law. But they're not killing each other just because a guy doesn't show up with his money. Like I said, on the...
Well, you mentioned that, yeah, the wiretap. Hey, Carmine, did you make any money? No, have a breadstick?
Well, that's that. I don't know if it went like that, but hey, Carmine, how'd it go? Okay, let's drink. No money? Yeah, let's drink.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 with Brad Rifkin, a security consultant, on just exactly what makes Italian-Americans upset and just how far you have to go to get them angry, especially in light of a lot of them being upset with the Sopranos. Anthony, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Gentlemen, how are you? I listening to this this Brad Rifkin, whatever his name is, I think he's drank too much wine before he's got on the show today.
Did you have something you wanted to say there, Anthony?
Yes.
Go ahead. What's that?
Hello?
Yeah, we're right here. What did you want to say?
I guess what I wanted to say was I'm an Italian-American who's rather angry at being recalled a guinea, greaseball, goomba, whatever that Brad had referred to. I think Italian-Americans are insulted by those terms. Italian-Americans do not want to be
like, yeah, but I'm not saying, it's not like calling a black guy the N-word.
Well, why
the
not?
The N-word is a very hateful word.
Well,
because
Italian-Americans were, and I'm not saying we were as discriminated as African-Americans were in this country, but when Italian-Americans came over to this country, they were just as discriminated, called the greaseballs and goombas.
No, but they never had it that bad. I mean, not compared to the blacks.
No, and I'm not saying they did, but they were.
That's why
they did have it bad.
If I walked up and I said, hey, greaseball, you say that's the same thing as calling a black guy the N-word?
Well, as an Italian-American, I'm just as insulted as an Italian-American. Why should I be called a slur because I'm an Italian-American?
Well, let me ask you a question. I don't expect you to have to answer this, but I'm curious. Is anybody in your family in organized crime?
See, and right off the bat, now you've really insulted me.
I'm just asking. I'm not saying that they are.
Listen. Not all Italian Americans are in the mob, and the fact that because I'm an Italian American, I have to answer questions that I'm in organized crime is an absolute
disgrace. Let me ask you this.
Let me tell you
something.
Americans in this country believe that every Italian American is in organized crime. So I think that's why we get insulted by the Sopranos in organized crime. And you are rather insulting.
I didn't mean to insult you. I wanted to ask.
You're not insulting me. You're insulting every Italian American who has any pride or culture.
My question would be this: is there anybody? I don't want to insult you. Anybody in your family who owns a restaurant?
Well, there's not. Okay, father's a banker.
See, that
I'm
to me
attorney.
Would be. You know, the Bank of America, which is a big bank, was started in California as the Bank of Italy. Started by Italians, so that's, you know,
There's more Italian-American bankers in this country than any other ethnic background. I'm an attorney. There's a lot of professionals, a lot of big business groups. We don't own restaurants and are associated with organized crime. So.
But your grandmother makes great sauce. Tell me that.
Listen.
Tell me at least that.
Well, listen, that's the case, but that's with our culture. That has nothing to do with associated with organized crime.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, and that's not what you're talking about. You're talking about that because we eat good food and we enjoy life and we have great culture, that's associated with criminal activity.
I didn't say that because you like to drink, you're a criminal. I said that because you like to eat pasta and drink, you don't get that upset with stuff.
Well, listen, I like to eat pasta.
Well, this guy sounds like he's upset. And
I'm upset. And
all right,
let me tell you something. There's a lot of more Italian-Americans okay. upset out there.
Thank you for your call, sir. So can we reevaluate this?
I think, again, and he never said that. He never said that. First of all, Italians didn't have to put up with half the stuff. Like for instance, I'm Jewish, Phil. And And what we had to put up with is 80 million times worse. Obviously, nobody's going to argue with that. With the metal, even with the Irish, what your ancestors had to put up with was way worse than what the Guineas, or I guess they don't want to be called that now, the
Italian-Americans.
What the Italian-Americans had to put up with, yeah. But to say that it's not okay. In other words, I asked him, is there anybody in your family that owns a restaurant? He took offense at that.
Well, it's all sort of the stereotype. Either it's crime or they own a restaurant, or his grandmother makes good sauce. You know.
Well, it's all right. I don't mean the stereotype.
But let's get back to the point. It's perfectly fine to call an Italian-American greaseball because they're not that tense about it.
That's right.
1-800-449-8686. Kathy on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Kathy, hello?
Hello.
Yes,
hi.
Go ahead.
Hi. I agree with the caller that just called in, that my father owned a nightclub in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and I agree that it's an insult to call somebody a greaseball, wop, dago.
Well, is it the same as calling a black guy like a stovelid or something?
No, I disagree with that. The N-word is a lot worse.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
I do agree with that.
Okay, thank you.
But I think it's an insult. Goomba's not bad.
Goomba's good, yeah.
Yes, Goomba's okay, but greaseball...
Well, let me...
I used to hear at the nightclub, it was called the 500 Club. It's where Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis got their start.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard of it?
I think I have, yeah.
Okay.
I've done some consulting work in Atlantic City. I might have heard about that.
Yeah, and Joe DiMaggio lived with us, in the 50s.
Oh, so now it's getting really, these tales are getting, next thing you're going to tell me Al Capone had breakfast with you or something.
I'm
trying to tell you, see, there you go again, Al Capone.
Well, no, you're saying to me, first your father owned a nightclub,
yes,
then Joe
did.
DiMaggio was staying at the house. Next thing you're going to tell me is like, whatever, okay, I don't want to say a criminal, but what's a WAP that's not a criminal?
I beg your pardon?
I mean, an Italian that's not a criminal.
What's an Italian that's not a criminal?
Well,
I
can't think of a famous one right now, I'm sorry.
The guy that started Bank of America, Giannini, or whatever his name was.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay, him. Next thing you'd say, you tell me that he was, like, you were dating him. You see what I'm saying?
I think that you're, maybe you are a Guinea.
No, if I was a Guinea, I'd say I was.
I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying
Jewish.
That there's no decent Italians in this world?
No, I am not saying that. I'm saying...
One of the reasons why we have Mr. Rifkin on is to refute that notion.
I'm saying the Italian people are good-natured, fun-loving. They love the world. They drink until they puke sometimes, but they love wine.
My father didn't even drink.
Was your father Italian?
Yes, he was.
That's unusual.
Full-blooded.
That's unusual.
What's
unusual?
Yeah, but what you know what I'm saying, Kathy. In other words, you love to eat the pasta. The Italian women, I don't know how many times I've heard it. It's true. They got beautiful, I don't want to be offensive, butts. Is that all right, Mr. Henry?
Oh, my God.
Italian women have...
You're very chauvinistic.
You're telling me Italian women don't have big asses?
No, I don't.
Would you watch the language, please?
I'm sorry. Italian women.
You're very chauvinistic, and I don't have a big one. And my, you know what?
You said that you're Italian. Is that correct?
I am Italian. My maiden name's D'Amato.
Okay, and a wonderful people you are. And I'm saying with the wonderful Guinea charm that you got. All right, I didn't mean to say Guinea. I guess you don't like that, right?
No, I don't.
I think Guinea charm is a good thing.
Well, you don't have to say Guinea charm. You could say that the Italian people are a charming people.
Thank you.
But even still, you have to take them individually. I wouldn't say, for instance, the Irish are charming or they all love to dance a jig.
All Irish get drunk. That's not true either.
I haven't met one yet that don't like to take a taste.
Well, I'll have you know that I know a few that don't drink, okay?
Me too.
Must be lonely on a Friday night for you. But
What is the point now that you're doing?
What?
What, you're insulting me now?
That's
so
right.
you said you're Jewish. There's a few choice words we could use about Jews.
I wouldn't. No, you can't do that because we got it worse than Italians. Italians come over here. They open up a restaurant. They were fine. Jews get over. We had it bad.
All right. Look at Kathy. Thank you for your call. Our number 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hello, everyone. My name is Mavis Leonard, and I come from Bellflower, California. And I go to Joyful Union Congregation, and I love to have my Henry Weinhardt. But other than that, I'm retired, and I don't exist. Phil Hendry made me up, just like he making up this Brad Rifkin guy he doing right now. He do all kind of voices. I love to listen to him, even though I can't because I'm not real.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686 is the number, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Brad Rifkin is a security consultant with us, talking about this perception of Italians as being a violent, irascible group, Italian-Americans. It just isn't true. In your attempt to say that they're a fun-loving and peaceful people, though, you're saying that they'll just roll over for anybody that calls them Guinea or WAP or Dago or Greaseball, and what we're hearing here is a decidedly different thing. A lot of Italian-Americans calling and saying that isn't true.
Well, I'm saying it as a, if you say it in a good-natured way, if you're angry and you call somebody a WAP, yeah, sure, they'll get mad. If you're angry, you call somebody a greaseball, guinea, goomba, whatever. But if you just say, hey, you stinking greaseball, how you been?
And I can walk up to some guy in the mafia and do that, you're saying, like on Mulberry Street in New York, and it's okay.
If you don't mean anything bad by it.
Why do I not believe you? Why do I think that I would not leave that area of the city? That I would turn up dead?
I don't know. That's your paranoia. See, that's you believing all that Sopranos garbage. That's the problem, and that's what the Italian people are trying to say. It isn't true. It just isn't true.
So I go into Little Italy, I walk up to some big guy in a suit, and I say, how you been, Dago?
Not a problem.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Nicole on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
I suppose being that this gentleman is a Jewish religion, if
yes.
I walked up to him and said, hey, you money-grubbing Jew, how the hell are you? He wouldn't take any offense to that,
yes,
would he?
Yes, I would.
Okay, what's the difference?
The difference is the Jews, we had it way... Italians come over on a boat, get off the boat, open up a restaurant, their life's beautiful. Jews
okay,
had to struggle
so
and sweat
wait,
for everything. All you guys had to do was open up some pasta joint.
Okay, you know what? Your attitude
you can't
is
believe
what
that.
Promotes racism here in the South. Your attitude is what perpetuated people like Hitler. I mean, you are just a contradiction in terms.
You know, every time I say, hey, how you doing, old greaseball? And somebody says to me, you're like Hitler. How did you make that leap? I'm talking about the fun-loving Italians.
How I make Italians, that leap is that you can sit there and categorize one group of person by your perception that they, because you may or may not know one person that doesn't mind being called a guinea or a wop.
Most Italians
doesn't
don't.
Mean that everyone else wants feels the same way or
you
doesn't take offense to that.
You could call most Italians an oily guinea, and they'd say, hey, how you been? Sit down, have a glass of whatever that is that they, what do they drink?
Wine?
And I'm sure
wine,
you
yeah.
You could also call a lot of black people in the South the N-word, and you wouldn't walk away
no.
with your head on your shoulders, I'll tell you that right
That's
now.
That's exactly right. You're right about that. But I'm saying, see,
there's
are you Italian, Nicole?
There's no difference
Italians
at all.
Italians are more fun-loving.
There's no difference at all. You are just trying to force
no.
everybody that's listening to this show
what you're saying,
your opinion, which is...
Yeah, Brad, you're saying
best.
Because Italians are more fun-loving and more peaceable people that they'll take insults better. That's what you're saying.
That's not an insult if you say to a guy, hey, you oily guinea.
What do you mean, oily guinea? That's got to be an insult. How could you not take that as an insult?
Well, you just don't get it. You don't get how the Italian is.
Most of your WAPs
don't care. They just say, why don't you sit down and have a breadstick?
I know, the FBI wiretap. Did you make any money today, Carmine? No, we'll have a breadstick.
Well, that's what it said.
You're sure?
It was something to that effect.
Right,
to
Nicole.
That effect, huh?
To that effect. Well, what do you think? They're going to kill a guy?
I don't know. I don't know what goes on in the so-called mafia. I don't know. I've seen the TV shows and I've seen the movies. Whatever those guys do for real is probably pretty gruesome. Something tells me it's a lot worse than what we see in the movies, okay? And
well, you just don't know. And there you go stereotyping again. Most mafia guys are very sweet people. And
nice, sweet guys. I can call them an oily guinea.
Yeah, they'll kill you.
You could probably call them all Guido, and they wouldn't take offense to that either, right?
Not all of them you're going to call Guido, but some
well,
of them,
I mean,
yeah.
You're making right. this characterization.
Okay. Nicole?
Yes.
Are you Italian?
No, I'm not.
See, she don't know. She don't know. She don't know.
All right. I know
she
about
don't know, 20 yeah.
of my closest friends
closest
are Italian.
Closest friends. Well, try
I'm
it.
My very best friend is 100% Italian.
Then go up to her and say.
And if I went up to her and I said, hey, you walk. She would whop me all right upside the back of my head.
Hey, Nicole, tell her that her ass is getting bigger. See what happens there.
Yeah.
Because
then,
Italian women consider
no
that to be a Italian women consider that to be a compliment.
All right.
No.
I swear
I
to God.
So.
How do you figure that?
Because Italian women like to know they got a big ass.
You're jacked up. I'm telling you.
Lady,
there's no way.
Lady, you're not Italian, so you don't know.
Well, neither are you.
I've been around. I worked around these guineas. I know exactly how they think.
Why don't you just, for the sake of my show, refrain from using those words?
Oh, you're offended?
Yes, I am, on behalf of my listeners, if you don't mind. Nicole, thanks for your call, okay?
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. Jerry on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, this man has got me so livid. For a man who is not Italian, he has absolutely no idea what he's talking about.
I worked around it. Are you Italian?
I don't care if you worked with them 24/7.
Are you Italian?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, and then we know where we stand here now. You're not like this Nicole calling me from the prairie.
No. This man has done more damage to the Italian-American people
than
the Sopranos have ever done. He has depicted
What are you talking about? I'm trying to say.
You have depicted the Italians as being nothing but fat, macaroni-eating, wine-drinking drunks. Who sit around eating food all day long, own restaurants, and belong to the mafia.
No, I did not say they belong to the mafia.
How many lawyers do you have in your family?
Wait a second, ma'am. I'm trying to say the Italian people are not violent, that they're not angry people like everybody thinks they are.
Because we eat macaroni and drink wine. That makes so.
That's an indication of how much you love life, that you sit around, you love to slop it down, or whatever you call it. You mancia. That's the word they use, mancia. Isn't that right?
All right, so this is now a great cure for all of the violent people that are in jail right now.
Have a freaking meal,
yeah. Let's just give them a bowl of pasta and a glass of wine.
Have a meal, yeah. I think there are worse things, Jerry, in this world than people sitting down and breaking bread together. And what do you guys call it? Mangia. That's Italian Phil.
I know what it is.
All right.
No. I'm
you
sorry.
Slop it,
you
have
coming
meatballs.
Out of left field.
You can't be
totally
killing.
Coming out of
How
left field?
Out of left field? You can't be killing people being angry if you're shoving a meatball in your face. You know that's true.
Oh, give me a break. And what about you? So if you shove a knish in your face, you're not going to go out and kill somebody either?
I mean, let me tell you something. The Jewish people had a tough world, okay?
So that justifies Bugsy Siegel, and that justifies Meyer Lansky. And
don't ever call him Bugsy.
What?
My grandparents were Italian immigrants.
Call him Benjamin.
And they had a very, very hard time when they first came here from the other side.
What, getting a liquor license? What are you talking about?
Give it up. My grandfather was a construction worker. My grandmother was a homemaker. My mother worked for many, many years in the Garment Center in New York City. They weren't mafia people. They weren't.
I didn't say that they were. I'm trying to say Italians are not in the mafia. They're eating too much food.
Yeah, but see, what you're doing is this.
You're stereotyping
you're saying Italian people are not violent people because they're shoveling macaroni into their kisser.
And that's, all of a sudden now, that's bad.
Well, you're making them out to sound like fat slobs who
that's
don't...
That's as bad as saying that all black people sit around eating watermelon all day long.
You want to know something? Just between you and me, Jerry, I knew... They're not a black person I know that don't like watermelon. Now, that's the God's truth.
Okay, so what's that supposed to mean?
I'm not saying they eat it all day. I'm saying they do like it. It's true.
I'll give it up. So do you.
I don't eat no watermelon. I do what...
So, look it. What we're doing here is trying to dispel certain stereotypes, and you're only reinforcing them.
You think that?
Yes, I think that. You're hearing a million Italian people calling the show and saying the same thing.
I don't know what's wrong with it. I saw this old, I guess I can't say Guido, but he's an old mustache, and he's sitting down in New York, East New York, Alphabet City, and they're unloading pork, and he's drinking wine and yelling at people and having a blast.
He's what?
And all Italians do that. Is that it? That's
he's
what you're saying?
He's sitting there with his fat rear end on a stool. It's about...
he was the only...
You need six stools for this guy's ass. And
okay,
he's sitting there and
he was the only Italian person there. There were no Irish people there. There were no Jewish people there. There were no Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, no Cubans.
No, because the Guineas don't want
Italian.
No, the Guineas didn't want no Irish down there. Only Guineas...
Oh, boy.
Oh, please.
Well,
will you do me a favor, Mr. Henry? Get this man off the air
before you lose a lot
of listeners.
I wanted to pitch my book...
Okay, he's gone. And she's gone, too.
Well, I'm back.
Get out of here.
gone. I'm back.
No, you're gone.
Well, then she ought to be back.
She's gone, too. She hung up. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show. Now, we saw the Young Dubliners Saturday night at the Canyon Club. Fantastic show. Got in, saw about 45 minutes of the set. This is a good band from Dublin. Although they play California, they play the West Coast a lot. I think they play the States a lot. I think it's because it's more lucrative for them out here. There's a whole lot of wannabe Irish. Speaking of wannabes. But in any event, it was a lot of fun. But I noticed one thing that they do over there, and can I just make a suggestion? And I don't want to tell anybody how to run their business. I know it's about making a dollar, and I understand that people like to dance. But going from the Young Dubliners, and what happened was the set ended, I don't know, about midnight, 12:30, and then they converted the joint into a discotheque. And my wife leapt from her seat. Oh, let's, I said, no way. Let's go, we're leaving. Oh, come on, no, we're leaving. Now, Alice, out. Now, I can dance to the Dung Dubliners until the cows come home, because I dug it, and I'm into folk kind of stuff. I can do a jig. I can get up and skip a jig in my blue suit, because we just come from a fundraiser over at the country club. But I will not dance underneath a spinning ball with the little mirrors in it. I'm not going to do it. I know you got one, Craig. We know we lost Craig long ago. Because then we went over to the Yucatan Grill, which is out in T.O. Great joint, because we wanted something to eat. Now it's about 1:30 or something. There's nothing open in Thousand Oaks at 1:30 in the morning. There's nothing. I mean, there was one pub, I think. But we went over to the Yucatan because they got really good Mexican food. Went in, got a freaking the best nacho plate that I've ever had in my life on this planet. The best taquitos I ever had. And they had the dance floor going. And this is difficult for me to say because I know it makes me sound old, and I don't want to, I don't mind being old, but I don't want to sound like I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. However, this techno electronic music thing, am I wrong when it just sounds like the record skipping? No, really, because it's it's a freaking dance craze going on now with the instrumental music, man. There's no lyrics. Not that you listen to them anyway. Not that I really needed to hear It's Gonna Be Hot Stuff, Baby Tonight. Not that I had to hear MacArthur's Park Done Disco. Not that I needed to hear Ooh, Love to Love You, Baby, because that's all just as redundant. In fact, I'd rather hear the instrumental. I'm a big fan of instrumental music. But I here's the thing. Here's what it is. And I know that I'm not alone. And I know that it's not just a function of my generation. I know that this has to do with having some kind of an aversion to music manufactured specifically to dance to. Now, I know you dig this stuff, Craig. You go to every rave, just as long as you ain't doing those balloons, man. But it seems like it is manufactured, and it's... And then the bass comes in. And then the bass stops. This goes on for like 10 minutes, and there's blood coming from my nose, and I'm being led out by two medics, and I feel like I've been in Korea. It's like I'm shell-shocked. Because we're up at Davis, you know, for the picnic day, and students had the different booths and stuff, and there was one booth, you know, campus station, KDVS, which you should tune in on the net because it's beautiful. The disc jockeys are all, you know, it's like they'll play all this really cool music, and then it's like,
you're listening to KDVS, University of California, Davis.
Now my microphone's wet, and I hope you are too. No, I'm kidding. So that thing was just, it was a beautiful moment. But I could get out, and Maria wants to dance to it because it's man. I can't do it. I feel, I guess I feel like a cigarette smoker. I know I've already been manipulated into smoking cigarettes. The tobacco companies have come out and made, you know, they said, hey, we did this to make you smoke. Now, we've made this music to make you dance. And if you don't, there's something genetic. Actually, it is very danceable, and you do want to get up, kind of move your body through space sort of a thing. But I don't know, I just feel wrong. And when I lived up in the Twin Cities, dig this. Now, some of you guys know this to be true. There was an ordinance in Minneapolis, Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul, you may not dance after midnight. You can't dance after midnight in that town, in a place where they sell booze. There's no dancing. Have you ever heard of such a law? I used to make fun of it, and people would say, oh, yeah, sure, it's been like that all the time. Well, what? I said, don't you people understand? I feel like Alan Bates in King of Hearts. Don't you know? Like, remember that Roddy McDowell in Twilight Zone? Listen, you got to let me out. Don't you know what you're doing, you fools? No, we're not dancing. You fools. They won't allow you to dance. Now, I often wonder, how are they going to enforce that? If it's a joint that serves booze, they won't let you dance. So what's a cop going to come in and cite you? Okay, you're dancing. What? I think he probably cites the club is probably the way it goes. Club gets cited if they're playing music. If you're standing out in front of the joint, moving your ass or whatever. See, one of the things we did after I discovered that, I went on the air the next night and I said we were selling ass braces, which you could lock around your hips. And then, you know, after midnight, the clubs would give these out and you'd be walking around like Frankenstein and you wouldn't. Sounds like something out of Footloose. Yeah, dancing leads to impure thoughts. It is very old, and it has its roots in some Puritan ethic. The other thing that I found out, because Minneapolis is up in farm country, the people traditionally in those places would go to bed very early because they had to get up early and pull a tractor. And so they would pass these laws to further encourage people to go to bed early. No dancing. 1-800-449-8686. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Phil, I called last week about your diet. You had dropped down to 228 pounds. I called up to congratulate you.
Thank you. I remember your call. Yeah.
I want to also say that, I mentioned that I was working on a diet, too. And
now, you're the guy who, you were doing some exercise. You said you were like 307 pounds?
I'm 307, and I'd lost 8 pounds in 11 weeks.
Which is different from my 38 pounds in 12 weeks.
Well, I'm taking my time. I don't want to have a blood clot or anything.
No, you don't want to get a blood clot. So what are you doing now?
Well, I told you I was doing pull-ups.
Oh, that's right. You said you were doing pull-ups, but you hadn't yet done a pull-up. You just hang from the bar once a day. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that's your exercise, hanging from a bar?
I hang from it, and I'll get a pull-up. And also, I've stopped eating Cuban food.
You live in Miami?
No, I do not.
Where do you live?
I live in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Is there any Cuban food there?
No, that's why I moved here.
You moved up there, so you're not eating Cuban food, okay? Now you're just eating what? You're eating steaks?
And potatoes. But no Cuban food on account of there's no Cuban food here.
That's great, man. And keep hanging.
From the bar.